10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063, The Game. We are live from the Game Studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We'll get to Ask D-Mace in 30 minutes, so get your calls in, get your texts in, get your questions in for D-Mace. So D-Mace, the NFL is a results-based business. Mm-hmm. And looking at the Titans' season overall, just a few weeks ago, the Titans had a better than 90% chance of winning the division. If you look at the sports books now, Jacksonville is minus 185 to win the division. Mm-hmm. Just a week ago, the Titans were plus 400.
Ooh.
The Titans at one point were almost minus 200 to win the division. The Titans are now plus 145. The Titans went from being 7-3, going on the road in one of the most difficult stadiums to play in the NFL at Lambeau Field. Mm-hmm. Got a win on Thursday Night Football, even if it was the crummy, crappy Packers then. It was still the Packers. It was still national
still
TV.
Still Aaron Rodgers.
And it was this team was riding high. Mm-hmm. Now the Titans sit at 7-9. Now the Titans, it all comes down to week 18 mm-hmm. to win the division. To say that this has been a monumental downfall ever since that Packers win, I think would be an understatement. Mm. That this team went from being the overwhelming favorite to win the division to now holding on by a thread to hopefully win the division against a red-hot Jags team that's on a four-game winning streak. If the Titans lose tomorrow, mm-hmm. they don't win the division, and they miss the playoffs— And also, I mean, they win or lose, they're going to go out with a losing record no matter what. Mm-hmm. But they'll have a losing record for the first time since John Robinson took over as general manager. So my question for you, D-Mace, and I'll get my thoughts on this. Mm-hmm. Well, my thought is, somebody needs to be fired if the Titans lose tomorrow. I still think somebody should be fired if the Titans win tomorrow and if the Titans do make the playoffs. That'll be a conversation for a different day. And I never want to call for somebody's job if they didn't do anything yet. Mm-hmm. Jared and I always had a rule. Nobody ever gets in trouble for something that they didn't do. The Titans haven't lost yet. Mm-hmm. But I'm speaking hypothetically. So we can come to the show on Monday and we can have it already all laid out. I have it laid out that if the mm-hmm. Titans lose tomorrow, I think somebody's job should be in jeopardy. I think somebody should lose their job. I don't think that you should go from having a better than 90% chance of winning the division and then to losing the division and losing 7 games straight and everybody just gets to come back next year like nothing happened. Do you agree?
I mean, in this situation, because I'm not even – let me say this. I'm not going to base what I'm going to say just on this 7-game losing streak and them going from the penthouse to the outhouse in a matter of months. I think it's been, for me, it's just been a accumulation of things that have happened last year, this year, and what you don't want to happen moving forward. This team for the last year and a half have not had any consistency in the passing game. Well, this year you can say, well, you know, they didn't have A.J. Brown. Well, they had A.J. Brown last year. They had Derrick Henry, you know, a big half of last year at the beginning.
Still was the top seed in the AFC.
And they still had troubles scoring points. They still had troubles consistently moving the ball down the field and as an offense. So that's not just this year's problem. It was last year's problem, too. But the team, for whatever reason, that team was better equipped last year to handle it from a defensive standpoint. This year, they've had a lot of a rash of injuries on the defense. So now it's a glaring problem what the offense is not doing. So whether they win or lose this game, If they win this game and go on in the playoffs and say win a game in the playoffs, my thing is there still needs to be change somewhere. You know, there you've already made the change with the GM. There needs to be more changes because for 2 years, this offense hasn't been consistent. Now, they can get on the run in the playoffs and win one or two games. Okay, fine. But that doesn't change the fact that you haven't been consistent as an offense. You know, that's like, you know, like anything. Oh, you know, like a player in a sense having four horrible seasons and then his contract year, he has this breakout season. It's like, well, I'm not going to pay you based on this season. You know, you need to consistently start doing more, you know. I may not even bring you back. You may have to take that somewhere else because I don't know what you're going to be next season. Well, that's what it has been, you know, in one area particularly. The passing game. It's been consistent. So if they go on a run here in the passing, in regards to their passing, say they win a game in the playoffs and then end up, you know, doing well from a passing standpoint in the second game but still lose, I still need to make changes. Because we shouldn't even been in this situation where we had to scratch and claw and fight to get in the playoffs.
The Titans should be in the situation where Derrick Henry
can rest,
Jeffrey Simmons, and all of their stars, Treylon Burks, all of them can be on the sidelines because
exactly.
Week 18 shouldn't have mattered.
Absolutely.
This has been a nightmare scenario since the beginning of the season that Week 18 mattered. And mm-hmm. now it's the game. It's a playoff game. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And it's all because of what has happened in the last 6 weeks.
Yeah, so if they, you know, you've already, as an owner, you already set the stage. You already set the precedent. Like, listen, things need to change. Now, I'm going to start with the GM because I can do anything I want to. But I can do this at least. I can get rid of the GM for whatever reason. I may have thought that wasn't the right reason, but she did it. And there are a lot of other people that said, well, maybe you shouldn't have did it at this time. I'm not saying don't fight, but maybe you shouldn't have did it at this time.
Totally shouldn't have
okay.
done it at that time.
But she's already sent down or sent over a message. Things need to change. I started with the GM. Now it's up to you, Vrabel, because Vrabel's not going anywhere. He's not. Well, I'm starting now is up to you, Vrabel, to make sure what I see next year on the field is totally different from what I'm seeing today, at least from an offensive standpoint. This offense needs to move, and we need not depend on Derrick Henry 99% of the time because that's what they're doing.
I think that you have to start with, and I think this is bare minimum, you have to fire Todd Downing.
You may have to move on from him.
There is zero faith. This mm-hmm. fan base has zero faith mm-hmm. in Todd Downing.
I don't know if the players have faith in him.
I don't have faith in him. I mean, I've said all, like, really from the beginning of the season when we had enough of a sample size for me to kind of get a hang of what Todd Downing's tendencies were, I said I fully believe that Todd Downing goes into every game with a little notepad mm-hmm. and a couple of fun plays that he likes to call with little checks next to them. And it'll be, you know, Wildcat, it'll be, you know, trick play with Malik Willis, it'll be whatever. Mm-hmm. And he'll call those plays at any point in the game. Just because he's like, oh, this is on my checklist.
No rhyme or reason to
it. I just need to check it off. I felt from the very beginning that Todd Downing calls plays like he's playing Madden for the first time.
I hope that's not the case.
And is
I
looking
really
at
do.
Coaching suggestions. Uh-huh. And it's like, okay, that one. And he just calls it for no rhyme or reason because it makes no sense within the context of the game. I don't think Todd Downing has done anything this season to be able to say, hey, I deserve another crack at this. I think you start with Todd Downing and that's bare minimum. The second thing, I think you have to look at the body of work over the last 2 years and see that the Titans have had more players go on IR mm-hmm. for 2 years in a row than any other team in the league. And I don't know who that would be. Mm-hmm. I don't know who is responsible for that. But I think you have to look into that and start making some changes, either to who it is or to your processes. But whatever it is, something's not right there in terms of whether it's training, strength and conditioning, whether it's the style of play, whatever it is, something's got to change with that. I don't think Mike Vrabel's job is in question. I think that Amy Adams Strunk made that move between John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, firing John Robinson because she felt comfortable with Mike Vrabel's leadership on this team. I don't think Mike Vrabel deserves to lose his job. But I do think that after this season, if the Titans do lose tomorrow, I think we're all going to be looking at Mike Vrabel like, what did you do to help turn this team around? I think we'll all be looking at Mike Vrabel like, look, we needed to win one game. We went on a 7-game losing streak to end the season. Mm-hmm. We need more, Mike. Not calling for him to be fired by any means. I still think he's one of the top coaches in the league. But I think we're all going to be looking at Mike Vrabel with a few questions and demanding some answers.
Yeah, we are. As well as Downing, as well as Pat O'Hara, and anybody else on that offensive side of the ball. Not name the running backs coach. I think everybody else's job you need to closely look at, and evaluate them. Is this the best thing moving forward for this organization? Rob Moore, I think he's behind the eight ball because of what you chose not to do in signing A.J. Brown. Him, I would say, listen, he and the running backs coach are the two coaches that are exempt. Everybody else, we got to start seriously evaluating you as a coach on this staff. Not to say that I'm going to fire you or whatnot, but some things need to change. We need to have a different philosophy. Something has to happen in order for this team to be much better. I look at the quarterback position. Ryan Tannehill, it's not like they haven't had anybody. And I could be completely wrong on this. And if I'm wrong, somebody tell me I'm wrong, and I will say it. Okay, I will admit it. Have no problem with that. I don't think they've developed any offensive players in this system. I don't. They haven't developed quarterback the ways they were supposed to have developed them. You look at Woodside. You look at Malik Willis. You look at the guys they drafted, quarterbacks they drafted, because they drafted Marcus. But they drafted at least, two or three quarterbacks later in the rounds that needed developing, and they never got there. The offensive line, they haven't gotten developed the way they need to. So we got to start looking at these individual coaches and say, are you doing the job? I mean, I'm sure that's what Vrabel will do, and that's what he has to do at the end of the season. Because if he comes back at the end of the season and everything is status quo, what you're telling us and what you're telling the fan base, what you're telling Amy and everybody else is that we were good. We're okay. We just need to get healthy. Even when y'all were healthy, you were not consistent as an offense. You didn't scare anybody through the air. You didn't. You scared people running the football, but that's because of Derrick Henry and Derrick Henry alone. You did not do anything in a passing game that made teams fear you for the last 2 years. So if you don't change something in there or redo some things, you're telling the fans, hey, we're good. We're okay. We're good with averaging 18 points a game. We're fine. We're just going to go back to running the football. We're going to let these coaches do what they have been doing the last 2 years, which is not much in regards to the end product after each game. We've talked about it, Caroline. First halves are great. They've been great. Mm-hmm. Second half, they fall off the map. Don't even show up. Why is that? I don't know.
I'm just saying, you lose tomorrow, there's going to be some serious job evaluations, I think, that have to come within that building. Coming up next, we are right to your phones. Get your thoughts on this. If the Titans lose tomorrow, who do you think should get fired? Plus, the Jags have been holding on to a grudge for 20-something years. How will that affect the game tomorrow? We'll get into that all coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Derek Mason and Isaac Bird are deep. This is Mason from the 20. 35, 40. Midfield, and there he goes! 80 yards for the touchdown. Derek Mason from his 20.
And watch the defenders. Nobody. There's one, two, Thomas. I see about three or four unblocked Jacksonville Jaguars not able to break down and make the tackle.
Sound familiar, D-Mace?
Yes, it did.
1999 AFC Championship
game.
I was
a young buck then.
Titans beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I bring that up because clearly that game has been a bugaboo in Jacksonville for the last 20-plus years. Clearly that game is still on the minds of every Jags fan, of every Jags player in that locker room. Because Doug Peterson, head Jags coach, is at the podium talking about that exact game where Derek Mason carved up the Jags defense. This was Doug Peterson.
the history of the rivalry and all the other stuff to this game?
I mean, I've looked into the history of it and everything, but you know, quite honestly, this you don't need to really show a lot of videos to get motivated for this one. You know, this will be an exciting football game, obviously, from a fan standpoint, from players and coaches. So, nothing special for this one.
Have people told you, fans that you've run into, or people in the building, about how bad 99 hurt and all that stuff? No, not really.
Did it hurt?
It sucked. Apparently, really bad. It sucked. Really, really bad.
Okay.
Okay, there you go. Clearly, that game is still bothering them. And we all know, I mean, we can all expect that TIAA Bank Field is going to be absolutely popping. That game, this rivalry, is heated in that locker room. I'm not saying that it's any different for the Tennessee Titans. But it's different in terms of the Jacksonville Jags, because this has been something brewing in them, clearly, since you were in a Titans uniform, D-Mace. That this has been the Titans show over the past couple of years. That the Titans have owned the Jags for so long that it's almost personal. Mm-hmm. That it's almost like the little brother finally getting to be able to prove something to big brother. And I think that could be a dangerous thing for the Titans this weekend. That the Titans are coming into this game kind of battered, kind of defeated. Mm-hmm. You look over the past few weeks for the Titans, your offensive coordinator gets a DUI, your general manager gets fired, and you're on a 6-game losing streak. I don't doubt that this team is fired up and ready to go and knows what's at stake. They're entering this game feeling like it's a playoff game. And this is the kind of game that Mike Vrabel loves to play in. Mm-hmm. Everything's at stake. Maybe they're the underdogs. Maybe they're not getting the respect that they want. That they're coming into this game a little battered. And maybe the opposing team, in this case it's the Jags, are coming in all high and mighty. But I think that could be a dangerous thing, considering that the Jags have had this pent-up anger and this resentment toward the Titans ever since that 1999 AFC Championship game.
Yeah. If you want to count the 99 season, where we beat them three times into the 2000s, you're talking about 15-8. So the Titans lead the series in regards to the end of the 1990s all the way up until 2009. They held a decisive advantage over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, you see, you know, beyond that, you know, the Titans still dominate. And more so since, you know, 2017, the Titans are, I think, 4-1 or 5-1 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So they pretty much owned the Jaguars since the Jaguars have been in existence, or the Jaguars been in existence. And I know Peterson wants to change this, and rightfully so, because, you know, when a team has had your number for so long, there has to come to a point to where you say, as a head coach or players, you say enough is enough. And for the Jacksonville Jaguars, they are in a situation where this is their playoff game. This is what they built this team for, an opportunity and a chance to be in the playoffs. Did it look like that at the beginning of the season for this team? No, it didn't. It seemed as if, you know, they still was a year away. You know, this team was still young. The quarterback was still getting used to things, but they were still the same Jags, but with a better roster. Well, after that London game where Trevor Lawrence played probably one of his worst games, you know, he came back and he regrouped. And since that game, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. So the Jags believe that this is their year. Maybe not necessarily to get in the to win a Super Bowl, but this is their year to take that step that you know, the Titans took by overtaking the Indianapolis Colts. Other teams in other divisions, you know, there's that one critical year where you start to see things change, the tide change. Say Buffalo, same situation they're in. The tide is changing. Why? Because they have their quarterback. So now they're beating New England. Now they're beating the Dolphins. Now they're owning their division, for more or less. The Jags, that's where they feel they're at. They got their franchise quarterback. They're building around him. They got the right coach to coach him. And they feel like this season, considering what they did the first time they played the Titans, this game can be the game that changes this series moving forward, because we've got our franchise quarterback and you don't. So we're going to be good moving forward if he doesn't get injured and if we continue to surround him.
And I do think that this win, if the Jacksonville Jags do beat the Titans, that win is so symbolic for a few different reasons. That it could be symbolic of, we finally, you know, we're David and the Tennessee Titans are Goliath, and we just beat them. And we get to go to the playoffs. We won the division. Mm-hmm. We still remember 1999. So it's almost like gratifying the past, but could also be such an encouraging sign for the future of, nobody expected us to win this division, to make the playoffs, and now here we are. Mm-hmm. I think for the Titans, it doesn't have as much symbolic meaning, but it's just win and get in the playoffs. So there's not as much emotional drive for the Titans, which I think could be a positive or a negative thing. Mm-hmm. But I do think the Jags take this game very, very seriously. But let's get a quick thought on it. Chris is up next. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Caroline. Big D Mace, how you doing?
Good.
Doing well.
Thank you for taking my call. Caroline, you know how I'm going to do this. It's time to bring some truth into this.
Titans and truth, let's bring it.
And D-Mace, as much as I love you, I got to disagree a little bit with what you said earlier. And I just think this is something that, it's something we all got to realize. And I know I'm going to be crazy saying this. We got to quit thinking that Mike Vrabel is invincible, that he's untouchable. We've lost six in a row. Could potentially lose seven if we lose this game. Miss Amy has already basically, with the firing of John Robinson, has said the team is not good enough the way it's constructed. Just getting to the playoffs is not good enough. Just winning division title, not good enough. She wants Super Bowl championships. Caroline, you said it yourself. This is a results-based business. Mm-hmm. What have you done for me lately? Lately, yes, the Titans have been winning, and they've won divisions. We're about to have our first losing season, but in the playoffs, what have we done? One and done 2 years in a row, and it could either be one and done again 3 years in a row, possibly, or not even get in at all.
Chris, do you think Vrabel's job should be in question?
I think Mike Vrabel's job should. I mean, I don't think it shouldn't be on the. It should be on the table, definitely. If they lose this game, everybody's job should be on the table, on the coaching staff, everybody. Vrabel included, because, I mean, we always talk about going from good to great. Mike Vrabel is a good coach. I will not take that away from him. But have we reached the ceiling with him? Just getting in the playoffs, winning divisions, maybe occasionally winning a game or two, getting maybe to an AFC championship. Can he get us to a Super Bowl, though?
Yeah, thank you for your call, Chris. Appreciate you, Chris. Love you. Here's my thing with Mike Vrabel. I hear Chris. I understand. You go on a six, potentially seven-game losing streak, you got to look at the coach. But I wouldn't put Mike Vrabel's job on the chopping block, because I think that this stretch of success that the Titans have had, winning seasons, making the playoffs, being able to make something out of nothing, using 90 reserve players and getting the top seed in the AFC, I look to Mike Vrabel for being the conductor of that ship. Now, I think that there are various stages of hot seats. I think that hot seat could mean, hey, we're all looking at you. We need a little bit more from you. Or you can dial up the heat a little bit and your seat's going to get too hot for you to even sit on it anymore. I think that Mike Vrabel would be on the hot seat in the fact that we would all be looking at Mike Vrabel saying, we need more from you, Mike. You just went on a seven-game losing streak, cost this team the division, and you missed the playoffs. There are a lot of things that you could point to. Injuries, you fired your general manager in the middle of the season, your offensive coordinator sucks. But you're the head coach, and we need more from you. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Ask D. Mace coming up next. Get your calls in. Get your questions in. Any questions that you should that you might have for D. Mace, get those in. We'll get to them next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063, the game.
D. Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Fire. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and hey, play Silly Underdog Picks today. Pick three football underdog teams that you think will win this week for a chance to win great prizes. Play now at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sport, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. It is Ask D-Mace.
Yes.
Willie Donick in the building to kick everything off.
Hey, hey, what's Willie going D. on? I'm coming at you from Washington, D.C. Beautiful day here in the nation's capital. And speaking of the Capitals, it'll be the Preds and the Capitals tonight. I do have a question for D-Mace, guys.
What's going on?
To get it going. And Caroline, we had a funny conversation last night between periods with our broadcast crew. So Caroline is of the age where I'm gonna test her knowledge of music going back, and Nick can be in the same category, and we've already exposed Nick at times of having to find them. But this was the old school me coming out last night. So D-Mace, I'm going to start off with this. Best Cool in the Gang song. And we did have somebody on our crew last night say,
oh man,
Cool in the Gang. And I said, hold on.
You got to come back to me on that one, man. They've had so many.
I know. Goodness. See, that's tough. Oh, now, I'll give you the nominee. Last night, in Carolina at PNC Arena, they played Get Down On It. And I turned to the crew and I said, is this a great song or what? I said, this is my favorite. I said, this is my favorite Cool in the Gang song.
It's a party song, man.
Is it?
It is.
Celebration.
Yes.
Isn't that Cool in the Gang?
Dun, 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 there you go, Caroline.
A couple of legendary songs. Yeah, I'm an old soul, Willie.
There you go. Nick, what do you got?
Sorry, Nick Willie.
Nick has nothing.
I'm getting your segment ready, Derek, but it is okay. I don't know. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Oh.
Cool in the Gang.
No, cool in the Gang.
But that's
cool
gang, that's what I thought of. That, like, that's,
oh, that's what you thought of when you
that's
thought
of. That's in the same era for
me.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
I don't really know any. I know a few Cool in the Gang songs, but they're all slipping my mind right now. Like,
oh, the
all
classic.
Of the,
oh, I see, know it,
now, this
but
is
I
the
just
answer we
forgot
get. It's a little
it.
Vague. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Oh, I'm just
that's
messing
all
with
I got.
You, Nick. Let's get into some questions for D-Mace.
Right,
Doug
D-Mace,
is up
I need
next.
Your answer, though. I'm trusting that you're going to come up with cutting edge stuff.
Absolutely. We got Doug on the phone?
Yeah, let's get to Doug with a question
Bring it
for
on.
D-Mace.
Bring it on.
What's up, Doug?
Hey, Happy New Year's to you guys.
Mm-hmm. Same to you.
I got a question for D-Mace that is not football related, but it is man related.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a friend that just bought an engagement ring a week before Christmas.
Hmm.
And he said that his girlfriend, fiance, said, don't give me anything for Christmas. I'm good. I said, dude, don't take that bait. Okay. It flew. He made it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, you got about 14 days. You know, before you need to start thinking about Valentine's. He said, I don't have to get anything for Valentine's. I just bought a ring. I said, dude, don't take that bait. Now, coming from a professional football player and a player, can you please advise this man what to do?
Well, I would advise him as a individual that was married at once upon a time, you know, and have dated and is dating, you know, that, yes, you bought her an engagement ring. That's great. You guys are getting married. Congratulations to the both of you. And I'm sure it's a nice ring. And she's wearing it proudly. But that doesn't then exempt you from, you know, not giving or acknowledging further holidays, i.e. Valentine's Day. Just because you got her the ring doesn't mean you can't get her or you don't have to get her anything for Valentine's
that
Day.
That means you just upped the ante.
Exactly.
You gave her a ring. Now you got to get her something even better for Valentine's
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely. So I suggest that you think about it like this. At least Nashville or Tennessee doesn't have Sweeties Day. Because in Michigan, we had Sweeties Day. And Valentine's Day. They
that?
Both fail like on different months. It's sort of like Valentine's Day,
okay,
but it's not as publicized as Valentine's Day. but I suggest you go get her something. Anything. Don't come in the door empty-handed, okay? Get her something to show the appreciation of the day. That's what I would.
We're going to start calling you the love doctor, D-Mace. I love this. We get these questions each week for you. D-Mace is the love doctor.
I enjoy them, man. I love them.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at Curation.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code D-Mace, D-M-A-S-E, at CuratianCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. One text or text in the text line. Ask D-Mace, how do the Titans lose this weekend?
By doing exactly what they did in the first matchup, turning the ball over. I think that when you turn the ball over and you don't get any turnovers, that does raise the percentages of you not winning that game. I'm not saying if the Titans don't turn the football over, then they are guaranteed to win, because that's not the case. But at least if you don't turn the ball over, you give yourself an opportunity to win. I think this Jags roster, I was trying to say all that together, but this Jags roster is a little bit better than the Titans at this point in time. So they can't have those turnovers or those, pre-snap, post-snap penalties that puts them in second and long or third and long. They can't have that. They got to stay ahead. When we've already said this, they got to stay ahead of sticks. But if they're going to even have a shot at winning this game, they cannot, and I repeat, they cannot turn the ball over.
Another texter texts in with a question for D-Mace and says, what do you expect from Derrick Henry this weekend?
I expect him to try to be the Derrick Henry he has been. He's going to be physical. He's going to run with aggression and with a purpose, because I think he believes that they lost that game because of him, the last game they played. I think he truly believes that, and he wants to come back and redeem himself. So I think you will get the best version of Derrick Henry. Now, what does that mean in regards to yardage? I don't know, but I think you will get the best version of who Derrick Henry is today.
If you need Valentine's.
All right, we got to.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Caroline. We have a nominee for. D-Mace, maybe you just take the time, but maybe our listeners will keep popping these in, the Cool in the Gang library. Mm-hmm. We have one for Misled. Hmm. More mid-80s there.
Okay. I'm a Jungle Boogie dog, a type of guy of a celebration.
Jungle Boogie. So you're going more 70s, early Cool.
But because like that's that. What I really, my parents really played that stuff. Played a lot of the old 70s and early 80s stuff from Cool and the
Gang. And when Pulp Fiction came out, Jungle Boogie came back big time. So, like, that was the next generation. Everybody got to hear that song all over again.
Or.
Can't go wrong with that.
I'm going to tell you my favorite, though, but I'm going to give you all that later. But go ahead, Caroline.
All right, Valentine's Day plans, get your questions in for D-Mace, because the best question for D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Fitz in the Tantrums at Brooklyn Bowl on Tuesday, February 14th. So get those questions in, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see Fitz in the Tantrums at Brooklyn Bowl. Coming up next, more questions for D-Mace. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
G-Mace. He played 15 years in the NFL.
Quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now on Caroline, Willie, and
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Ask D-Mace is brought to you by Curation CBD. Find their healing products at CurationCompany.com. Curation CBD products curated for life. Use promo code D-Mace, D-M-A-S-E, at CurationCompany.com for 25% off Curation CBD products. Now get your questions in for D-Mace, because the best question asked of D-Mace will win a pair of tickets to see Fitz in the Tantrums at Brooklyn Bowl on Tuesday, February 14th. So let's get to Wilson with a question for D-Mace. What's up, Wilson?
You kids got to learn your roots. Cool and the Gang was almost like the Bee Gees, in that they had one career earlier in the 70s when they were more of a funk band, like the Ohio Players or something like that.
Right.
And then they came back in the 80s with a smoother sound.
Yeah.
And probably had even more commercial success. But I'm with Brother Mace in that I'm old school, and to me, it's two toss-ups to decide between either Jungle Boogie and Can't Get Enough of That Funky Stuff, or Hollywood Swingin' and Get Down on It. Hard to pick between those four.
He's nominated half of the library. It's like four songs. He loves Jungle Boogie. I like that.
All right, thanks for your call, Wilson.
Thank you, Wilson.
We had a vote for Ladies Night online as well. That's a good one, too.
That is a
Ladies
good one. Night. Mm-hmm. That is a good one. Ben Texan says, I'm looking to go to my first ever NHL game. Which game should I go to watch? Grew up in Utah. Never really had a team close enough to go to.
Oh, wow. Is he's here in Nashville, right?
Not sure. It sounds like he's willing to go
to any game?
Cross country.
Oh, man. Well, the Predators playing anybody, I would say. If you want to go watch a game, hockey game, the Predators versus anybody. They play the Capitol. They play the
Capitals.
Yeah,
we're in D.C. tonight. Yeah.
So if you can catch the game tonight, catch it tonight if you're in the area. But after that, where do they go, Willie?
Yeah, it's a three-game trip up to Canada next. So after that, when the team comes home, the next home game is the 14th of January. And I think six out of the next seven at that point are at home. As we start the second half. So a lot of opportunities to come in there. But I think, D-Mace, this is what I was told right when the team first got here, is just don't worry about all the rules and everything. Crispy was the one that really told me this. You know, Crispy's a Stanley Cup winning coach. He says, just soak up the atmosphere. Just enjoy the crowd. Enjoy the speed. Just see what pops out at you. Don't worry about who the players are, what the rules are, or things like that. It's fairly simple when you get down to it. You got to score, and you got to not get scored on. But just watch the hitting, watch the physicality, the speed, and soak up the atmosphere. It's a great in-person game.
I always say that if you want to get interested in hockey, just go to a game.
Yeah.
And you're going to fall in love with it. And to your point, Willie, you'll figure out the rules later. It's just so fun to be in that environment in real life. But one texter texts him with a question for D-Maze. Says, D-Maze, do you think that Amy Adams Drunk did know about the AJ trade?
Yeah, I think she knew about it.
Of course she did.
They're not going to make a move of that magnitude without consulting with the owner. Because you're not talking about, you know, your third string wide receiver or your backup kicker. No, you're talking about your number one wide receiver. You know, maybe if not the best offensive player you have, he's the second best offensive player you have. So if she didn't know about it, then we got a problem. But I'm sure she knew exactly what was going on. And she had to sign off. To me, she had to sign off on it because that was a huge deal.
I think, you know, the Titans acquiring a...
Wasn't she in a room?
Yes. There's a picture of Mike Vrabel and Amy Adams Strunk, or maybe it was John Robinson. John Robinson and Amy Adams Strunk shaking hands in the war room on draft night. And when the Titans sign a guard off of someone's practice squad, like Amy Adams Strunk doesn't need to know about that. But when you're planning on trading, you know, a foundational player on your football team, the owner knows about
it. Exactly.
They have to know about it. Mark from Clarksville texts in with a question for D-Mace. Says, I have two young boys, 6 and 5 years old. What age do you recommend starting them in football? I don't think I should put them in tackle, possibly flag football. Or is there another sport that I should put them in for hand-eye coordination?
Well, and great question. This may not be a popular answer by me. But if you want your kid to, say, play football at this age, then flag football. Because they still learn a lot of the fundamentals, hand coordination, you know, foot coordination and everything else. And you get to learn the fundamentals of the sport. Get taught how to, you know, run routes and, you know, at that age as much as you can. But I don't think you should be, and this is only me again, I don't think you should put your kid at 5, 6, 7 years old and tackle football. It does nothing for nobody.
Does that even exist?
I think it does. It's like 6 or 7.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does exist. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And I cringe when I'm watching it. I cringe. Like, there's no reason why a kid that young should be playing this sport. To me, you shouldn't put on pads until you're like in the seventh, eighth grade. And then we can go from there. And if you really want to, just wait until they get in high school. You know, put them in other sports, yeah, soccer, other things that gives them that footwork and that training and eye-hand coordination. But I love football. I enjoy watching it. But I can't sit and watch, you know, kids at that age, 6, 7, you know, compete with pads on. It's just, it makes my head hurt, honestly. It makes my head hurt watching it. And, again, that's just me. I have friends that put their kids in, you know, sports at a young age. That's them. It's okay. That's what they choose to do, and I'm fine with that. But for me, it's like, nah, let's put you in flag football for a while and let you learn how to play the game. Enjoy playing. Because what happens in tackle football at that age, there's always this one little kid that's better than everybody. One or maybe two. And everybody else is just running around in circles. Everybody else is just trying to figure out where to go. And then you have these kids that are at such an advanced level, they're running over guys. These little kids are falling on the ground, hitting their head, they're tripping over other people, they're running into each other. Why do I want to see that? Why do I want to put, you know, a kid through something like that? My thing is to all parents, if you want your kid to play football, let him play flag football. He's still learning the same concepts. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree. For what it's worth, I think that's a great answer.
Joey from Gallatin, Texan says, how do you feel, D-Mace, about the outpouring of support and sportsmanship shown on the Monday night game? The sports world atmosphere feels like 9/11 when every American put aside differences and came together. Has there ever been a time where every single sports team seemed to be so close?
Other than, you know, 9/11 and not just the sporting world, but I think all Americans mm-hmm. became closer and paid attention to one another for whatever brief time it was. But it was nice to see, you know, the outpour of love and prayers and everything toward toward Hamlin and his family, you know, from the well wishes to the money on, you know, for the mom's daycare and helping them out, toy drives, everything. It just was a influx of just people wanting to help in any way they could. I just hope, which I wish every time after something big happens, that we continue that energy with everything that we do and everybody that we encounter. You know, it doesn't, let's not wait for it to be a tragic thing. And we say this every time. And, you know, after a few weeks, we go back to doing what we do. And that's just the reality of it. But even in that, it was great to see people that probably don't even follow sports that heard about the story, mm-hmm. People that love the Buffalo Bills, people that hate the Buffalo Bills, you know, just because they're not their team. They sent tweets, texts, donated money. That's what you want to see. That's who we are as a people. That's the best of us. And we can do that on a consistent basis, but it doesn't happen. But I'm happy to have seen all the love and support that the Hamlin family got.
Yeah, very well said. And continued good news about DeMar Hamlin. He has shown remarkable improvement per his doctors at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center. He is neurologically intact. He's been writing. He's been, you know, holding people's hands. He's moving his hands and feet. And, of course, the first thing he said when he woke up was, who won the game? Which is just really, really cool to hear. And, D-Mace, to your point, really cool to see so many sports fans and just people in general come together for a greater cause. And a good reminder that life is bigger than football. But that was Ask D-Mace, presented by Curation CBD, and the best question of the day will win a pair of tickets to see Fitz in the Tantrums at Brooklyn Bowl. Coming up next, we'll chat with Outkick 360's Chad Withrow, Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Moto Casino,
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.